Lost and Found, written by Lightning Big and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic rated for general audiences, featuring Fox and Cal Kestis. Cal has everything planned out. He's thought through his plan over and over, pored over the level maps in the archives, memorized everything he could about the route he'd need to get out and back in unseen. He has a robe big enough to pull over his head, a bag carefully packed, just in case, and, most importantly, he has his gloves. His experience on Coruscant is limited. Despite growing up here, he's never seen much of the planet beyond the temple. Even the Senate and its grounds are unknown to Cal, just things he's heard stories about but never seen for himself. Like so much of Coruscant, he knows them only by name and pictures, by whispers from the older initiates around him. Maybe before the war, things would have been different. But now, the temple is a fiercely guarded thing, and the younglings are under strict rules not to wander. Cal learns about other planets in his lessons, through stories, through shimmery pictures and holovids. He learns about Coruscant through news channels, snatches of conversations he's not meant to overhear, through careful use of his psychometry. But he wants something more. He wants to explore, to stretch his legs. Surely, if he's old enough to be called in for a war, he's old enough to walk through the city on his own. Cal shoulders his bag and slips from his room before he changes his mind. For all the time that Fox has spent on Coruscant since the start of the war, he's spent comparatively little of that time in the Temple Sector. It's maybe a weird hang-up, considering every other battalion of the Gar works closely with the Jedi, but the Coruscant Guard are exceptions to many rules. On a regular day, Fox wouldn't be the one to take the temple patrol route. Even during the night cycle, it's one of the safest patrol routes they have, so it usually gets relegated to shinies and transfers. Something slow to ease the new Vare in, or something easy to give to brothers who are recovering from something worse. Today is not a regular day. Fox sighs, the sound low enough not to trip the vocoder in his bucket. Not that it would be heard over the din of the crowded street anyway. On another planet, he might find quiet here, in the late hours, but he knows enough now to know better. Traffic never stops, not even in the upper levels of Coruscant. There's always something going on, some pressing matter that demands his attention, some urgency or violence or ensuing disaster that Fox is supposed to be able to clean up because that's why he's here, right? Hey! Speaking of, there's a commotion inside one of the smaller shops up along the street. He can't make out the sign from here, but he can hear metal clinking around, voices shouting. The door bangs open and the foot traffic shifts, everyone leaning away and passing by in a practice dance. Instead of following its steps, Fox pushes past, veers towards the open door and the shadows arguing inside. Fox ducks past the crowd, just in time to see someone dart out of the shop. Instinct has him reaching out, snatching for the back of their hood as they run past, stopping the runner in their tracks. Whoever it is small, considerably shorter than Fox and swimming in the outer robes they've got on. And they absolutely do not appreciate being caught. The kid is quick, spinning and trying to slip right out of the robe to free himself, but Fox is faster. He's got the kid hefted up and over his shoulder before they can even free their arms from the oversized fabric. They writhe in his hold still, stubbornly kicking and clawing, but Fox has wrestled bigger problems in his sleep, and it's barely a struggle to keep the kid from getting away.
Excuse me, what seems to be the problem here?
Inside the shop, the merchant is throwing their hands up. There is a mess at their feet, twisted metal and upended boxes, wires strewn across the floor. How much of the mess already existed in the space and how much was caused by the conflict is hard to say, but their agitation is clear. They scowl, gaze locking on Fox and then on the troublemaker still thrown over his shoulder, and their tone is clipped when they push both of them back out the door. Out! He's a thief, scrounging around in my storerooms. I want him gone. I'm not a thief. The door slams closed again, and Fox clears the threshold. Whatever defense the kid was trying to give falls flat, instead becoming a garbled yell as Fox hefts him more securely over his shoulder. The street crowd has largely fallen back into its normal rhythm, everyone moved on from the disruption, which just leaves Fox and the kid. Great. Cal is willing to admit that this whole thing has probably been a mistake. In his defense, the map was wrong. He was supposed to come out of the vents in a transport hangar, and from there he'd have his choice of where to go, either follow the line down to the senatorial gardens or go on foot into the market district. Instead, he'd pushed the grate off and tumbled out into a mechanic's workshop, smashing down in a mess of spare parts and flailing limbs. And now, the trooper. When it became clear that he wasn't going to be able to get out of the hold on his own, Cal started stewing. He had to come up with something else, some other way to get out of the situation. He could probably still salvage this, as long as he can get back to the temple quietly. Even though the map was wrong, he still thinks he could find his way back, and slip through the underground pass without anyone else having to know. He just has to get down. Right. Like Coruscant, Cal knows about the clone troopers in theory. He knows what everyone says about them, knows that they're the main force of the army, that they work closely with the Jedi. He knows that if he does get picked soon for a Padawanship, then he'll be working with his own legion of troopers. He could be a commander soon. He could be in the war. He thought his first time meeting a trooper would have been on a Venator, not being carried like a sack of flour.
Kid.
I'm not a kid. Cal twists his face up in a scowl. They've been walking for a short stretch, only a few turns away from the shop. The lights in the street have gotten brighter, and Cal has been mapping them upside down as best as he can glimpse. He assumes they're going back to the temple, but he can't tell, and he's too turned around to try and recall the different routes on the map.
All right, sure, and I'm not a commander.
Cal wriggles again, feet kicking against Fox's armor, scrabbling against the plastoid. As predicted, it gets him nowhere. All right, plan B. If you let me go, I'll go back to the temple on my own.
Who said that's where I'm taking you?
Wait, hey, what's that supposed to mean? Under his bucket, Fox lets himself huff a laugh. They're almost at the warehouse now, and from there it'll be a quick ride back to the barracks. He wasn't sure, at first, if the kid was a Jetiad or not, but it seems likely. They're not so far from the temple, but the late hour is suspicious. Likely not a sanctioned field trip, then.
Looks to me like you were trespassing back there. Sounds like a criminal offense to me.
I was not... Listen, that was just a misunderstanding.
That's what they all say.
Fox shakes his head, sighing. He doesn't even have to reach far for the exasperation. It's a familiar feeling. The kid sputters, wrestling against his hold with renewed strength. Crossing into the transport hold, they are all at once allowed a reprieve from the noise and the business of the city. The bay is a decent size, big enough to house a few speeders and bikes, and it's empty aside from two of them. There's no crowd to disappear into here.
How about we make a deal? I'll put you down if you promise not to run the second I do. How's that?
Fox can practically feel the kid's eye roll, even if he can't see it happen. Still, they parrot back dutifully, I promise not to run. Good enough for him. He bends and loosens his arms, giving the kid space to slide to his feet. When he straightens up, the height difference surprises him all over again. He'd forgotten just how short the other had looked. It makes him frown again, worry warring with the amusement he'd been feeling. The kid can't be older than a cadet, baby fat still clinging to his cheeks. Has he even finished his training yet? What if Fox hadn't found him? How'd he even get all the way out here alone?
What's your name, kid?
You first. Fox tips his bucket. The kid is squinting up at him, arms crossed over his chest. Two can play at that game.
Marshal Commander Fox, of the Coruscant Guard. Does anyone know you're here?
Again, no answer, which is an answer in and of itself. Fox sighs.
Kid.
Cal. My name is Cal.
Okay, Cal. If I ask you why you're out here alone, will you give me an answer?
Cal hums, like he's actually thinking about it. His feet shift, scuffing at the floor. All he says, though, is, sightseeing. It startles a laugh out of Fox. Sightseeing. Yeah, okay, he can work with that.
Hey, have you ever been on a grav bike before? We can do a lap around the Warren before dropping you off at the temple. I think there might be some sights along the way. Deal?
Deal. The end. Authors and notes. I just think it would be very fun if the Corys adopted Cal as their Jedi. Jaro T'Pol is cool and all, but what if your master is three clones in a trench coat instead? They can teach you all about how to wire a speeder and the hidden passages in the Senate. Just think about it. Podfickers note. This was potted for ITPE as a treat for my friends who also love Cal Kestis. I hope you guys enjoy.